nothing more unreasonable than unbelief. And that was God's mercy. And as far as God's condemning people for being born in sin, he doesn't condemn anybody for being born in sin. He condemns them for staying in it, or voluntarily remaining that way. And God sending his Son into the world, we're told in John 3:17, for God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world. Why not? It was already condemned. But that the world through him might be saved. And when people talk about mercy, to me, the cross is the greatest, the ultimate expression and demonstration and exhibition of God's mercy. All right.
Since John was written around 80 to 90 AD, isn't it possible that it was written specifically to answer all the objections that you just raised?
I won't argue that, but I don't know if it was written. The best of the scholars agree that the entire New Testament was written before the temple was destroyed. Now, I'm not going to stake my head on that, but so, and because it would then be in the very time to prepare the world for it. But it does answer the objections, brother. That's a good point. I never thought of it. Just a minute. All right, I'll be back there. And I want to give everybody an opportunity, to those who hadn't had it.
Did I understand you that you said that even if someone kept the law fully, that it doesn't bring life, or that the law is not intended to bring life in itself?
Well, wait a minute. Let's use the proper word.
Okay. Remember, I thought that you had said...
Salvation. No, the law was not intended to bring salvation.
Okay, the verse that came to me that I was thinking about was in the end of Deuteronomy 30, when Moses says to the people, I've set before you these words, life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life that you may live. And the whole feeling I get from that section is that the word is sufficient to bring life. And I think of life and salvation as...
He was talking, of course, remember, in view of their national life, physical life, and the law kept properly is certainly the greatest blessing on earth, because God's law covers every department of the people's life, physically, nationally, domestically, romantically, you take it any way you like, business-wise, war. And if people were to live by God's law, today there wouldn't be that terrible conflict between capital and labor and inflation. And the law was against monopoly. There couldn't be monopoly. God had so ordered it was impossible. There was no law that could make monopoly legal under any conditions. There weren't enough lawyers in hell or out of hell that could have made any, change in that. But you see, but for eternal life, surely if you finally kept the law ultimately, I'll agree with you. This point, it would finally land you at the feet of Jesus. Because it says, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. That would be the ultimate of the law. Yes, my brother.
I was under the impression that a lot of the objections were developing thing. And could you bring out, like for instance today, a lot of the objections, there are writings in for instance, the Talmud and in, of course, the Old Covenant that bring out the deity of the Messiah, like Micah 5 and other places. Could you bring out some of those things? Like, I know a lot of the objections they say today about John and the Messiah's deity, there are Jewish writings that talk about the deity of the Messiah, and some rabbis I talked to talk about it as well. Could you bring out some of the Old Covenant scriptures?
That was deity?
Bring that out.
Well, Isaiah 9:6 is the classic. Well, he's called El Gibber, Almighty God. Well, is God eternal or isn't he? And then he says, Aviyat, Father of Eternity. I mean, that settles that. And Mike, of course, 5:2, 5:1 in the Hebrew, when he says this ruler is to be Mekedem, Mime Alam, Mekedem from the beginning, Mime Alam, the word Alam, from the days of eternity. It's a double positive. You can't go, it is impossible to go beyond that. And besides, God does not have to repeat himself. You know, once he's spoken is enough. Brother Adler.
In the early days, according to the word, it seemed like both the rabbis had like a dictatorial authority over the Jewish people. They didn't dare to actually cross the rabbi's authority. It's when the Spirit of God reached individuals and they started searching for God. It's just as his word said, seek me while I yet may be found, is when the movement of the messianic or the believers became the being because they dared to search, reach for God in a personal way.
I know as a boy, if I had in Poland in the synagogue, if I had been searching the scriptures, I would have been called a maskil. Well, although the word maskil is a good word, comes from sechel, good sense, but it means a seeker after wisdom. I'd have been slapped around. You weren't supposed to study the Word of God by yourself. You had to have, like the Roman Catholics, a priest to tell you how when he himself doesn't know how. But the blind leader of the blind. But I believe there's one objection perhaps we have not yet voiced, and I may bring that up. The Gospel of John, what one word would you say is outstanding in the Gospel of John? I don't mean two words, one word, without a modifier. Huh? Faith is right. Believe. Love, of course, is there. Don't you see that the entire Jewish traditional Talmudic system is based on works? That's the objection. They charge us, well, you don't believe in works, you believe in just believing. But of course, the Bible word believe doesn't mean have a mental opinion. The Bible word, bitachon, faith, tikva, emunah, anybody here that knows Hebrew, these words are active verbs, they're not passive. Faith works. Faith wears overalls very many times. And James shows us what faith is. But the Jewish system of works, and I'll never forget, and of course we'll be running out of time, my poor father and mother in Yom Kippur. Some of you remember, any brethren remember Yom Kippur in an Orthodox Jew? I mean, you've seen the agony that goes on. Jewish men I've seen taking themselves by the hairs of their head, knocking their heads against the wall. Now, don't laugh at it, please. Not because they were insane. They're far from it. Because they felt they were in sin. And they wanted a way out. Now, I remember my poor mother with her eyes ringed, black, swollen with tears. The book, the machzer, saturated. And my poor father, having afflicted himself for over 24 hours, fasting and praying and tearing his soul out when it came to Ne'ilah. Remember some of you read in Ne'ilah? Sharei Shemaya Patach, the gates of heaven open, Vatzorcha Atav Lanu Tiftach, and so on. And they were in agony and desperation. And after Yom Kippur, my father was 20 years older. His head had shrunken into his shoulder. And you'd ask him, Rabbi Yankov, Rabbi Jacob, have you made contact with God? He'd say, Gott weist. He didn't. Don't you see? Worked. They worked their heads off. They worked their hearts out. Then the Aseret Yemei HaTshuva, you know what that is, don't you? Those set 10 days of repentance. Getting up early in the morning before, during some of them all night, praying, fasting, crying with bitter tears. Sure, they worked. But you see, the difference is, that's what the book of Hebrews written to our people. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And the Greek word there, and I question if it was ever written in Greek first anyway, but anyhow, the word is, the Greek is sabbatismo or sabbaton. I'm sure the Hebrew word would be the equal Shabbat or menucha. That's the objection. He that believeth on me, our Messiah said, has what? Well, say it if you know. Everlasting life. And our people say, no, you have to work. It's avoda. Surely we believe in works. And with this, well, no, I still have a few minutes. You remember Ephesians 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Too many people, I remember Moody students who would give that as their testimony, and stop right there. No, that was a disaster, because the next word is a conjunction, for. What does a conjunction do? Takes two passages and marries them in happy wedlock, doesn't it? Joins them together. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto what? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, sure, we believe in works, but I work not to be saved. Praise God, I work because I am saved. That's different. We have time for one more, and that'll be it.